I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live.
It's only just a matter of.
Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, this is one of our favorites. Every month we get to have our good friend Dr. Troy Sproul on the show to talk about health in the healing process. We believe so strongly that God wants you well, that He wants you to flourish so you can show up in life feeling like your best self, being present, energized, hopeful, expectant, as someone who knows what it's like to go day after day after day feeling so crummy. It takes a ton of energy to do that, and you end up having to do so many workarounds that I just really don't think are always have to be the case. I think we never stop fighting and contending for flourishing health, and I just think there's sometimes a belief that you're stuck and that there is no way out, but there's always a way out. Dr. Troy always says, if you're not getting the right answer, ask a better question. So we're going to not take text questions because we have a backlog of so many questions that have come in over the text line, so we're going to really spend the hour covering those. We'll talk about gut health. We're going to talk about how to detox from glyphosate. We're going to talk about, can you overdo it with supplements? And if you're going to pick a few, what would those maybe be? And more. So I hope you will stay tuned because we've got a great informative show up ahead. So let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Troy Sproul is founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. He started Synapse over 26 years ago with a vision to bring an integrative approach to healthcare through functional medicine, making Synapse an internationally known center for true health. Dr. Troy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Love having you so much. And let's talk about a verse. Is there just, maybe it's not even a verse. Maybe it's just a thought from scripture, a passage, or just a virtue of God, you know, something about God that you've been pondering as you walk with Him these days.
Well, I would say as far as virtue, what we're looking at, for me, what's ringing true right now is obedience. Mm. And it's very, very important for us, number one, to, with the way the world is right now, is to be connected to what God wants us to do and what Jesus wants us to do. And for me, it's not just about going to church. It's not just about one day out of the week. It is getting into the Word, and then what does that mean for you? And then what does God have for you in this time, in this season? Because God is working right now in an amazing way, and He has something for us. And so it's very, very important for us to just be obedient for what He has to us. But if we're not checking in, if we don't know what that is, we can't be obedient. So just deepening a relationship with God, deepening a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and just being a part of your everyday walk, no matter what you're doing, I think is going to give some tremendous value to everyone right now in the world. And I just see such a miracle happening, and God's about to show up like never
before.
Come
on, somebody. Amen.
It's such an amazing time to be alive.
You know, friends, you're hearing Doc say this, and this isn't just theory for him. You live this out because you're really in the throes of people in the greatest crisis of their lives. And yet every time, Kevin, I see you, you're just so full of hopeful optimism because you are so connected to the things of God. And, you know, I've said, you know, I really believe, for lack of a better way to say this, that obedience brings the anointing.
Yes.
Because when you, it's one thing to say you believe something. It's another thing to parrot somebody else's response. But when you honor God enough to say, I'm going to do what you say, because I really do believe you're going to do what you say, you step into the power flow. I just believe that. I've seen too much. And, you know, to fear God rightly is to honor Him, to say that, you know, you cannot put Him in a box, and He is a keeper of His word, and He sees me, but He's also charging me to obey Him. So I love that you started with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of part of my testimony as far as the clinic and stuff, for years, and I've shared this with you, but for years I was busy. I just wanted to keep it as a small little thing because it was controllable and I had a good balanced life.
I think whenever we talk control, heaven laughs, but keep going.
I agree. Yeah. But I wrestled with that for 2 years because God put on my heart to build more of a functional medicine clinic. And I've said this to you privately, I may have said it on the air, but I prayed and I said, God, I need to be hit so hard over the head with an obvious, you need to move forward with building a functional medicine clinic. Otherwise, I just want to, you know, my flesh just wanted to be comfortable with where I was because I had a good, not that stressful life with what I was doing. And then that was the week you came into the clinic.
The hurricane.
You were the hammer that God, and you literally said, it was a couple weeks later, but you literally said, this needs to get out there and you need to be more. Mm-hmm. And so it was very similar to the words that I had chosen.
And I'm still telling you that.
Yeah, you still are. As are many, many yes, others yes. now.
Yeah. But you've not grown too fast. You're growing by leaps and bounds, but you guys are keeping up with it. And it's been really awesome.
Yeah, and that's with the intention of having a solid foundation. Mm-hmm. And one of my staff members said today, this is a staff member who was a patient first, moved from California to work at the clinic, and she was prophesized over that she would be part of a clinic that was going to change healthcare.
Wow.
And so we've received a lot of that in the last mm-hmm. couple months. And a lot of things have just been happening, which is only God. And we're just a small cog in the wheel of what's happening right now when it comes to healthcare. But there are beautiful things that have come out of the chaos of COVID in these past years when it comes to medical doctors and healings that are going to be coming.
Yeah.
People aren't experiencing them yet, but just mm-hmm. hang in there, folks, because it's coming. And I'm part of so many conversations. In fact, it was why I was almost late today. Mm. Having an amazing conversation with a surgeon and just the humility that this man had and just his heart to help his patient. I wish healing could happen just because of how much the doctor cared.
Yeah.
Because this surgeon was, I could tell it came through the phone.
Yeah.
And so it was awesome to hear how much he cared. And he was just looking to help. He was willing to do anything to help this patient. Just beautiful. Love that.
Love that so much. So before we get into questions, you have, this is, I don't think in all the years you've been on the show, you've ever promoted an event. We've promoted when we've done live shows or live audiences with you, but the clinic has something that you want to invite people to participate in.
Yeah, we are actually doing a 5K race to help raise some funds for patients that can't quite afford the healthcare. And so it's called Set the Pace with State of Grace. State of Grace is a nonprofit organization. It's June 18th, 9 a.m., and the kickoff is at our clinic at 4490 Aaron Drive in Eagan. And we're going to be doing a run walk, and it's fun. So you can just show up and have fun, but we'll also be there to answer questions. I'm going to be there early, as is my team. So don't hesitate to ask questions about
healthcare.
So
just come and cheer people on and ask some questions.
Yes, whatever. If you go to the website, State of Grace Foundation.
We'll post that link on the show page so people can go right to the link and then they'll get to the... So they can sign up to either run or to support people who are running.
Yeah, or just show up and the different parts of the City of Eagan will be there. But there'll be a community of people there to raise funds, kids, everyone. So it'll be
fantastic.
Fun.
So let's take one question before we go to break. And this one says, I have Lyme disease and see floaters in my vision, more blurry vision when trying to focus on the text of my computer. Is that common to have vision problems with Lyme? How can I increase vision clarity when using computer monitors? It seems the light from the monitors makes it harder to focus on the light text displayed on the monitors. I have heard and I've experienced light sensitivity. I wonder if a blue block glass glasses might help, but what do you say?
So the answer to that is to get blue glasses. Mm-hmm. That is right. So there's also...
Sorry.
You can get these...
I'm so happy right now.
That's all I got.
Yeah.
There are screen protectors as well that can change the frequency of the light. There's also a test that you can do online called a VCS test. Mm-hmm. It's a vision test. It's not as accurate because of it coming through a screen, but certain doctors, we do it at the clinic, our nurse practitioner does to assess the vision. So it's very, very common. We mm-hmm. see that with mold and Lyme. Biotoxin illness, we see that.
Yep.
And then,
which means it can go away. If it's mold and you pull it out of your system, your eyes can clear up.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. I was looking at other texts coming in. Survivingmold.com is one of the sites where you can go get that VCS test. It's $15. Very worth it. It's very informative.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so you can use that as a guiding post to say, this is one marker to say I'm improving or not improving. It is possible to pass that test and still have mold or Lyme. It's also possible to treat mold and Lyme and not make much changes with that test, but feel better.
Yeah. So it's not fully definitive, but it maybe is
informative.
Yeah,
it's one tool in the toolbox, absolutely.
All right, well, we'll pause here. When we come back, we'll tackle more of these questions. Here's one. Any easy at-home test for SIBO and leaky gut? How do you know if you have SIBO? Small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, right?
Yes.
Right. Or leaky gut. How do you know? We'll talk about it. And how do you treat? And other questions as well. Dr. Troy Spurl is my guest today, and we'll be back in a minute.
He started something good.
Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. My very special guest today is Dr. Troy Spurl. He joins us every month to answer your questions around health and the healing process. He's founder and CEO of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. And we are not taking text questions today because we're recording this to kind of cover the backlog of all the questions that have come in on the text line that we never were able to get to. So hopefully you'll get your question answered today, because a lot of these, you know, if someone else is dealing with it, chances are a lot of others are as well. So here we go. Any easy at-home test for SIBO and leaky gut? Maybe make the distinction of what these two are. Are they one and the same? And how do you diagnose and treat?
Yeah, so SIBO and leaky gut are different. SIBO stands for small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And basically, you're seeing the bacteria growing in the part of the small intestine. It really shouldn't be there. And so, whereas leaky gut is literally little tiny holes in the digestive system where the smaller particles can actually get through. And so think of it like an ulcer is a big crater, and leaky gut's like a pinprick size hole type of scenario. A lot of times with leaky gut, you do not have symptoms. And so you can actually feel like everything's good.
But what are the implications of living with
leaky? Autoimmune. So if you end up with leaky gut, you can have autoimmune scenarios. And so it's usually something like joint pain or weight gain, or, you know, depends which organ has the autoimmune reaction to it. Whereas with SIBO, generally you do have digestive symptoms, and a lot of times it'll be healthy food. You'll hear about how you're supposed to have sauerkraut or all these fermented foods. And if you get really bloated and feel worse on these good, healthy
kombucha,
mm-hmm. probiotics, that's mm-hmm. a good one. Mm-hmm. That is a good test to see if you potentially have SIBO. You have to confirm it with lab work, mm-hmm. and they'll do anything from a breath test to a stool test to confirm the SIBO. Sometimes there's some urinary tests too, like an organic acid test that can discern through SIBO-like scenarios. But if you consume kombucha or things that are supposed to be good for you that have any fermentation process, and you feel a little bit worse, gas, bloating, other consequences digestively, then highly likely you have SIBO.
Let's talk a little bit more about the gut thing. If I remember right, if you have sugar and you feel crummy after you get the bloated, it's good, possible you have candida. And if you have vegetables and you feel choppy in your gut, it's possible you have irritable bowel. Is that correct? So, I mean,
that's correct.
Paying attention to how you're responding to food.
Exactly. So if you eat food that's supposed to be good for you and you feel worse afterwards, there's something linked to that. So irritable bowel or any type of inflammatory condition when you eat vegetables is because the fiber's rubbing up against the walls of the intestinal tract. It's kind of like fiber rubbing up against the walls is a massage of the digestive system. So think about getting a massage where someone is massaging your muscles, but you have a sunburn. Mm. The massage doesn't feel so good. And so that's kind of the same thing.
Irritation.
Irritable bowel, inflammatory bowel can't handle the fiber of the good, healthy foods. And so if you have something like sugar, it could be feeding something. So not only do you have to look at, is there a reaction, look at the timing of it. Is it something that happens within 10 minutes of eating it? Is it something that happens 2 days or 2 hours later or 2 days later? And so all of that kind of matters, because if you're feeding something, it proliferates like candida or yeast. There'll be a delayed effect from that.
Oh, very interesting.
Versus an immediate effect. Because sometimes you're reacting to the acids that get released from the growth of the candida, and the acids might be affecting the kidneys or some other part of the body.
That reminds me, too, I've heard that oftentimes you have food reactions 3 days later. So you might be having an inflammatory response to an overindulgence of sugar or alcohol or fried foods, even chips, French fries, those are all highly inflammatory foods. But 3 days later, you're like, what did I do?
Right.
Or when the day you eat it, you're like, I'm fine. Right. But you're not fine, but your body has a delayed reaction.
Yeah, so there's delayed immune reactions like that. And there's also delayed reactions like something causing a mild inflammatory response that tightens the muscles in the back of the neck, which does disrupt your sleep for one or two nights. And so by the third day, you're having joint pain because of sleep disruption. I just had that this morning. That was one of my patients that was in where we discerned it was they got better after we did some corrections, and it started to come back, and they were disappointed because it came back. And the reality was it's because they weren't sleeping deeply again. So we had to, and we know exactly what set that off. So they understood the process and now know what to do to help set them up for good deep sleep to not have their joint pain come back 3 days afterwards.
So if someone is like got leaky gut, so they don't have gut symptoms per se, but they're thinking, I feel like I may have an autoimmune, an undiagnosed autoimmune, but I have fatigue or I have joint pain or, you know, maybe some sinus stuff, don't sleep the best. Would a good way to treat that at home, at least to start with, would be an elimination diet? If it's
so two ways. Yeah. The best thing is elimination diet, only second to deep sleep. So sleep, blood flow and nutrients repairs the damage of the gut itself, as far as leaky gut. And glutamine in particular is a nutrient, an amino acid that can help. It's kind of like a glue that helps bring everything back together. So that part is very, very important. Stress will impact the area. Fasting helps as well, can help with that temporarily to get things started. And anything that causes inflammation or distress to the area will make it a little bit worse again.
All right, back to the text line. Okay, this one, what about toenail fungus? Any root causes?
Yeah, so toenail fungus, again, is generally a sign of lack of good blood flow. Fungus does not like oxygen. So if your circulation is good, then you don't get it. If your circulation is poor, then you tend to get it. If you're if you have fungus in the intestinal tract and it is throughout your system a little bit, your overall pH changes and your ability to actually deliver oxygen to the tissues changes. So just making sure that you're getting heat to the area, making sure you don't have fungus in the environment, intestinal environment or anywhere else in the body. Sometimes because the pH of the tissue changes in the actual toes, and you can get it from like showers and stuff like that, athlete's foot, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that can happen, but again, the environment has to be right for it to grow. In a healthy, good circulating, high oxygenated toe and toenail bed, you still don't get it even if you're exposed to it in a gym or something like that.
That is a fascinating thing to me, because you think about people with strong immunities who walk into a room with other people who are sick and they walk out and they never get sick. You and I have talked about this for years, about you don't wait for the storm to build a shelter. You know, you work on it every day to shore up your system. And I mean, how many things are we exposed to? Just the fact that you've said so many times on the show that everybody pretty much, if I understand this right, has cancer in their blood at one point or another, but then their body devours it. Would that be a situation where they feel bad, they get a blood test and it reveals cancer, where somebody else in that same stage would just never know and their body devoured it? Do you know what I'm saying? Does that happen?
Yeah, absolutely.
So like it may have resolved if their immunities just...
Yes, absolutely. They may have never known that they had the cancer. Most people don't, actually.
Wow.
They don't know that they had the cancer. There is a video I put together of what your immune system under the microscope. It's on our website, and
it's amazing.
I explain how that process works with it too. COVID, I will say this, we had a couple hundred thousand views of that video, and we checked a month or two ago and it was at 1.6 million views. So people are interested in this now. People are looking for natural ways to help our immune system and a better understanding it. We're seeing it more than ever.
That's amazing.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Well, and I will say this too. It's really important when it comes to taking care of your body. I've been practicing now for 25 years, and I've not missed a day of work in 25 years. And I'm around people all the time who are sick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just say this. It's a stressful job because it's nonstop. I get there and I don't... There is no breaks per se until the end of the day usually, and then there's emergencies you're dealing with every day. So there's something going on, and I have a phenomenal team around me now that has offset a lot of that. But even with that, just paying attention to these details, my health is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but I have the awareness factor down to start course correcting as soon as possible once I start noticing imbalances. And I've been blessed, and I think I've had the protection of God too, as far as just being able to get through these couple decades without having to miss a day of work. And I've treated active infection all the time, as far as the flu every season, and COVID. That was part of our everyday routine.
Wow, that's amazing. What would you say if someone asked you that are your like top four or five priorities for yourself that just keep you healthy enough where you're not missing work ever?
So great question. So sleep is number one. That's why I talk about it so much. Number two is bowel movements.
Okay.
Yeah, fiber. keeping that process, keeping things moving. Mm-hmm. For me, I have to exercise. I have to move.
Me too.
And if I don't, it affects everything for me.
Too.
So I have to move and exercise. And then I will say diet. Mm-hmm. So if I just focus on a balanced diet for myself, which includes good amount of protein and vegetables, I do very, very well.
What are your favorite go-tos on those?
Vegetables is Brussels sprouts, mm-hmm. by far. And protein is chicken.
Me too.
Yeah, I'll just stick with the basics there. And
you've talked about Brussels sprouts where you take turkey bacon when you're feeling a little hog wild. This is how he rebels. I'm getting turkey bacon. But then, like, I think walnuts and Brussels sprouts and olive oil. And was there something else? A little bit of maple syrup or something?
No. That's maple syrup is in the salad.
Then there you go.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
yes.
another one.
Oh, yes. So am I getting that right? But you put them on like a cookie sheet and you just roast them.
Yep, roast the Brussels sprouts, have the turkey bacon on there. Sometimes you can put a little bit of jam on there or jelly that for a sugar. I don't do that, or for a sweetness, I should say. I don't do that per se. You can drizzle a little bit of maple syrup and it's got some good enzymes in there if it's good maple syrup. I usually just do the Brussels sprouts with the turkey bacon
chicken.
And then basically a little bit of butter with some seasoning. And they're so good.
What do you
have breakfast?
For breakfast?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
serious?
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yep.
You really do?
Yes. Well, these days I'm doing a shake with fiber for breakfast.
Yeah.
But on the weekends, I'll cook that up with breakfast. I'll put an egg on top of that, and it's like the best breakfast you ever had.
Wow. That's super inspiring.
Yeah.
Okay. So eggs and protein shakes. I have a plant-based protein shake that I really like. I put with almond milk and organic blueberries. I sprinkle a few sesame seeds in there.
Yeah.
What do they do again? I just remember you told me to do it.
Sesame seeds are very good for calcium.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good.
Very, very high in
calcium. I just do what he tells me mostly, right? All right. And I always think if some is good, more must be better. But I've learned since it's not always the case. Talking to Dr. Troy, when we come back, we'll talk more about is there a mode of exercise that's specific to your body type and your genetic makeup? Maybe. And we'll answer a few more questions off the text line. We'll be back in a minute. Keep me in the moment. Help me live with my eyes wide open. You know, one of the stressors on our health is borrowing tomorrow's trouble on today's strength, where we're living in the future or we're living in the past. And you know what? Some famous dead guy, I wish I could remember his name, from the 1800s said, you know, when you're in Christ, your past is forgiven, your future is bright with hope, and your present is filled with power. I just think that's a great thought. I'm Susie Larson on Susie Larson Live, and Dr. Troy Spurl is my guest. He joins me every month, and we're here to help you get healthy, to help you get healed, help you get whole. And, you know, there's a physical component, there's a chemical, there's a spiritual, there's an emotional component, and Dr. Troy just addresses all those things so beautifully. And let's pivot and talk a little bit more about exercise, because this is fascinating to me. I've been a cyclist. I used to be a runner, and then I had a little injury and hurt my knee, and so biking was just phenomenal because I could work my muscles, work my lungs without the strain of the joints, and I just am so free on the bike. It's just sort of my wings. But I've noticed in the stress that my body's been under in the last few years, especially in the last year, I've feel better when I do like Pilates, strength and stretching, and not as high of a cortisol output. So I still might bike once or twice a week, but I shouldn't do more than that. It's like my body's telling me. And so talk about just the dynamic, because I know of some people who are doing high cortisol output, but the season of life has changed and they're absolutely exhausted, but they think I got to keep exercising, but they're doing the wrong thing.
Yes. Well, especially with women. So as women go through premenopause and menopause, their ovaries stop producing estrogen, and then that task goes to their adrenal glands.
Oh, wow.
The adrenal glands aren't very good at that. So there's a down regulation of estrogen and estrogen receptors, which is quite normal, but that falls to the adrenal glands to make some of the estrogen. And so that's also our stress gland. It also has influence over insulin and blood sugar. So you shouldn't be doing the same intense exercise because it's going to stress out your adrenal glands. Plus, by then, we've had a lifetime of life. And so it becomes much harder. There's usually an accumulation scenario of stress, if you will, and the adrenal glands aren't necessarily in the best shape. Now, again, the more you can sleep, the more you can move and pay attention to your body, then the more benefit you're getting to the brain like you did when you were 20 or 30. So if your adrenal glands are doing fine, you can do the high intensity stuff and it's not an issue. If the adrenal glands, which the majority of people, they're not in the United States in particular or in North America, then that's a different scenario. And the most common thing is you have to just tone it down a little bit, but we still need the movement. And so you can start to get the same benefit from Pilates, from stretching, from more basic movements versus the high intensity stuff where you're dealing for going for calorie burn as well. So
it seems like we tend to bend towards the thing, like we neglect the areas we often need the most, you know.
Yes.
Cardio is just easier for me, but focusing on strengthening and lengthening, I can tell I just carry myself better. I feel better. So you feel like if you're a cardio-minded person, you feel like you're phoning it in when you're not sweating like crazy, but you're still doing good things for your body.
Absolutely. And you're definitely not phoning it in.
Yeah.
And so and there are a lot of people who the cardio part is just, it's so hard. It's like a wall you have to break through. But once you do, it opens up a whole new world of how your immune cells will operate, how your brain will operate. It's such an important part of just your recovery every day.
Well, that brings another question. So if you're not a cardio person and each time you try, you go, oh, this is too hard, and you back off, it might be a mental block because you're not maybe, you don't have the cardiovascular fitness yet. But for those who can, maybe who have the makeup to be able to do it, they just haven't done it, haven't been conditioned for it. Talk about some of the benefits. You know, I mean, it's reducing stress, it's building immunities, it raises serotonin, it helps you sleep. I mean, there's a lot to be gained if you start to move in a cardio. You just have to maybe match where you're at in your season of life.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to match it and you have to build on it slowly.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like if you've never been a cardio person or you've never been a weight person or exercise person and you want to get started, all of your muscles require blood vessels to deliver the oxygen and the nutrients. And people who have exercised their entire life, their blood vessels are huge, like a superhighway with 8 to 12 lanes. And the muscle around those arteries are very strong. If you've never exercised, it's like a congested one-way, one-lane highway. And so you can't push a lot of stuff through that highway. And so there's going to be consequences. So the biggest mistake I see is people just start off too much too soon.
And then they think it's not for me.
And it's not for me when it really is. Now, I will say there are a couple scenarios when you have a metabolic issue with your thyroid, when you have a condition called neurologic metabolic switching. That's where your brain actually perceives the exercise as traumatic because there's been an emotional component linked in with it. I do a class at the clinic where we literally talk about your mindset with exercise. We are meant to guard our thoughts. And if you're cursing the treadmill that you're walking on while you're doing it, that's having a negative effect.
Wow, that's interesting.
It will induce a shutdown. Wow. And so we will test that. We'll see a physical weakening of people's muscles that we can measure by them thinking about exercise or by having them doing certain types of exercise. It's called metabolic switching. So the metabolism shuts off. That's really easy to fix, though. And so, and it can be overcome by slowly introducing a workout routine and plan and by guarding your thoughts, being thankful to God that he gave you the ability to exercise.
Mm, boy, that's
that gratitude can overcome the neurologic component.
I mean, there's so many scripts that need to be flipped because sometimes we think, I'm going to reward myself by eating a pie or eating a, you know. And I get it because I do the same. You know, there's this cashew milk ice cream that's toasted almond caramel. It is like melt in your mouth, unbelievable. But to look at that as a reward, it's almost backwards because it actually moves you backwards health-wise. Yeah. So, I mean, somehow we've got to flip the script a little bit to go, I'm going to reward myself with good health.
I want people to just literally get to the point where they're saying, I'm going to reward myself today. I'm
Brussels sprouts.
Yes.
And I'm going hog wild. I'm adding turkey bacon.
Yep.
So let's talk about one of the best ways to detox, and that's sweating.
Yes.
And talk about two things I guess I want to ask. You know, people who talk about their skin, where they have like pimples all over their skin, that's evidence, isn't it, of kind of a sluggish lymph system? And then talk about the power of sweat and why it's so important.
So sweat is one of our main ways to control our body's temperature. So it helps with thermal regulation, and it also helps with detoxification. You have to have enough water in the body to sweat, and it has to be able to get to the surface. And most of the people who don't sweat very well, if the lymph is really congested, it can take 3 to 4 weeks of slow exercise to get to the point of sweating again.
Wow.
That's even with maybe going in a sauna or a steam room or something like that. And so it can take a long time, especially when there's something causing lymphatic congestion. If you have an infection, a parasitic infection, or an underlying mold, Lyme, or virus even, or candida or fungus, it can constantly be filling up the lymph system, so you never make gains with that. So you have to address the infection part of it on top of getting the exercise part of it going too, to help with the sweat. Sweating is so crucial. It just really is important for the overall well-being of your ability to detoxify. And when you've lost the ability to sweat, it's usually lymphatic congestion or dysautonomia of some sort, where you've got an imbalance between your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, or the fight or flight and the rest and digest part of your nervous system.
Mm. All right. Talk about infrared saunas. They're really such an amazing tool. Not everybody can afford to have one in your home, but I will tell you, a friend of mine wanted one so bad, and she found one on eBay for $300. It was a $1,500 infrared sauna, but there, you know, we got one, I will tell you, about 15 years ago. It was mostly to manage pain because you live in the upper Midwest. The cold was so brutal for me. What I didn't know is how much it would help with detox with mold, but I'm in there 5 times a week, and it's my prayer closet. I love it so much. So worth it to us. But not everybody has, you know, but there are places, clinics you can go to, you can go to. What is the benefit of getting in an infrared sauna?
So the sauna will actually heat things up from the inside out, whereas other saunas,
a steam sauna,
will do the outside in. And so that helps quite a bit. Certain things, again, it's like exercise. You have to know your limits, because when you heat up the body, just like when you have a fever, your immune system activates and goes after the infection. And so when you heat from the inside out with infrared sauna, it's very similar to inducing a mild fever. Now, that will activate also things like, I have many patients right now with mycoplasma, a co-infection of Lyme, and some other co-infections of Lyme. When you go into heat, they become uncomfortable. And so they hide really well in the body, but then with the heat, it'll liberate them. So if you go into an infrared sauna and you feel worse right away, it's a good sign that you have an internal infection that's not being addressed in some way, shape, or form. So you have to start really low and just slowly increase the temperature, like you would the exercise we just spoke about earlier, to help regulate a little bit about what's going on with that infection. And then you want to support your immune system with vitamin D and
after any kind of sweating and workout, you want antioxidants because you stirred up the free radicals.
Yes,
right?
Antioxidants and water. Yeah, you got to replenish the water, and you need the antioxidants to feed your immune system to take care of the free radicals and the infection itself.
Yeah, wow, that's so good. When you're thinking about, like, another thing, I wish I could remember the name of this doctor, but he is a New York Times bestselling author on aging well and, you know, slowing down the process. And one of the things I saw Dr. Jill Carnahan, who joins us every month, had interviewed him, and he said one of the ways to kind of postpone aging is the stressor of cold showers, of going from heat to cold. And I've read different things about it from different opinions, but the idea of, you know, one way is to be in a hot shower and then boom, turn it to cold for a few minutes and then you put it back.
Yeah.
Or if you have an infrared sauna, you're in it for 10 minutes and then you run in your shower for cold a few couple minutes and you come back in for 10 and you do that process a couple times. They said it's a superpower, you know, cleansing of your system. I would love for you to explain what is happening, but he was saying those kind of stressors, you know, learning and reading is super important to postponing age. Of course, good antioxidants, good sleep, all of that. But he said that little shock stressor, it has a youthful component. I don't understand exactly why, but
and we learned this. I learned this as a kid growing up in Canada because we would go into from saunas and
to
then
the
go jump in the snowbank.
Oh, yeah, the snowbank. Oh, yeah. Yes, yes.
Same as Sweden. That's like a known. That's a practice they have over there, and so. The shock value is such that, let me say it this way, the big picture way of saying this is that just in general, this is across the board in general, the people who are successful in life become comfortable with the uncomfortableness of life. So life can be very uncomfortable and you get these extremes in life and the people who learn to manage those extremes learn to navigate all of life. And so when you are doing extremes with the temperature, your immune system is learning the same things.
Oh, interesting.
And so by teaching it these extremes, there are different reactions that occur. And then to know that it's okay afterwards and you move through it.
So you make your body adaptable?
Adaptable. So then all of a sudden the stuff that's just off center a little bit becomes not that big a deal.
Wow.
Because it's nothing like what I just went through over here.
Wow.
So there's that aspect. Plus, when it comes to the temperature changes, we're seeing vasoconstriction and vasodilation. So that is basically constriction will temporarily boost and increase the pressure of your blood flow, and vasodilation will help open up the blood and the periphery to release its nutrients. So we see the surging delivery of nutrients, and it has a net effect of increasing oxygen nutrient delivery to our cells. That's like just making the gas in your tank more efficient. You get more gas, here's some reserves for later, and by the way, it's going to be brought into your cells more efficiently or used by your cells more efficiently.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. So for those who have co-infections who are going in the sauna, would you advise against that then? Or is that actually, in the long term, could that help them
heal? It'll help them, yeah.
Because they're detoxifying, right?
But you have to know your upper and lower limits, and there's an art here. Yeah. You have to listen to your body. You have to have awareness. And we're seeing more and more that's part of the bigger challenges is that people try an all or none approach with one thing.
Yeah, that's right.
And it doesn't work. And the reality is there's an art to it. You've got to listen to your body. Sometimes it'll be good. Sometimes it's just a bad day because you couldn't handle the heat at all. So learn what your body is telling you as far as the
And we talked on a previous show about balance, you know, and your balance can differ from day to day because our bodies, you know, I think of it like a level in construction, you know, and you got the bubble in the middle. Yeah. Life is always wobbling. So that bubble is always trying to course correct and readjust. Yeah. Same thing with your balance, with your heat tolerance and all those things. But to, in a controlled setting, stress it in a certain ways that allows your body to react and adjust is amazing.
Absolutely. You know? And the two images that come to mind are like the balance or the bubble on the level on a cruise ship where you see it going up and down or on a boat on the ocean. And you have to kind of balance that while you're going up and down. Mm-hmm. And so there, eventually you can get into the rhythm and you are able to keep it in balance.
So this is why I know we got to go for a break here, but it's so important. It's easy to go into autopilot when you develop a healthy habit. But I think especially given that we're coming through a pandemic, it shows us more than ever. We've got to not only choose healthy, make healthy choices, but we've got to be so in tune with our bodies. I've really learned, Doc, to, you know, I have a little exercise room in my house. I have a treadmill and a bike and then some mats and weights and different things. But there's been a few times where I've gotten on my bike and I'm like, you know what? I don't have it today. And so I get off and I do like a Pilates type class and feel 100 times better. And I think when we go, check, I've done my workout, check, I've done my devotions, you disengage your heart and suddenly you're out of tune with your body. But I think we need to have optimum health, we've got to be in tune with what's going
on. Absolutely. It's a dance and you're not in the lead.
Yo, perfect. Took me 15 minutes to say that and he says it in one sentence. All right, we're going to take a break and I promised a few more text line questions. So we'll tackle those when we return.
It ain't over yet, it ain't over yet. So move, keep walking, soldier, keep moving.
Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to our good friend, Dr. Troy Spurl. He is CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing, located in Eagan, Minnesota. And we know we've got listeners from all over the world. Eagan, Minnesota is a place, and it's an amazing, amazing clinic, I will tell you. And they do take patients from all over the place. So he's here every month to answer questions on health and the healing process. And Angie, my producer, just made a really good point during the break. She said she loves this show today because it's really for a much broader audience, very basic things on exercise and detox and all those things. Because we know when Doc comes on once a month, we sometimes really do get into very specifics because we're here to help you and answer your questions. But because we're just having a conversation, there are some really, I think, helpful tips for everybody. But let's dig in and make it kind of specific. This dear listener says, if you have time, could you recommend any action steps for a 16-year-old female with antibody-positive hypothyroidism, used to be called Hashimoto's, MD basically saying to recheck numbers every 6 months, and when they reach a certain level, they'll prescribe something. Is there anything that might reverse the autoimmune response and restore the thyroid? So thankful for these monthly talks with Dr. Troy.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, see this all the time where you can actually reverse the antibodies. And so there's a lot going on there. There's an autoimmunity. It came from somewhere. So a lot of times at 16, it depends when the antibodies were detected. Some of the things that can trigger autoimmunity are vitamin D deficiency, estrogen changes. So when the cycle first initiated, the menses first started, or menopause can both trigger an autoimmunity, as can pregnancy. So at 16, we're going to assume it's something like the cycle starting. Environmental toxins can also trigger autoimmunity, infections, stress. So identifying the root cause and working on that's very important. I will also say that there is a lot of books out there that have been written about this. One of my favorites from a long time ago, Datis Karizian, was why do I have thyroid symptoms when my labs are normal? And that was basically because you have antibodies and there's Hashimoto's. And then other doctors have called written books just on Hashimoto's, where there's an autoimmune diet that you can follow. And we have had a lot of success with treating iodine or autoimmune thyroid with high-dose iodine. And there's a book called Iodine, Why You Need It, that goes into more detail about that as far as the that process. But identifying the root cause can a lot of times bring, especially at that age, bring the antibodies back into neutral. And anything that mimics estrogen can also cause a problem. So estrogen dominance and estrogens in the environment that get into the body can displace the thyroid hormone at the level of the thyroid. And some women will get a goiter and someone will just get the autoimmune part of it. So there's a lot that can go into it, but the younger you are, the easier it is to reverse, depending on what the cause is. Sometimes it's a chemical exposure like to glyphosates or pesticides that trigger it. Sometimes it's an infection that has to be addressed. Most times at that age, it's the onset of hormones being released with the other precursors of either low vitamin D, low omega-3, or low glutathione. It's a confused immune system, so you have to find out why is the immune system confused.
A couple questions. I hope I remember to ask them both. First, last month we touched on glyphosate, and one of the text questions is, how do you get glyphosate out of the body? So first question is, explain what glyphosate is, why it's a problem, and then how you get it out of the body. And then the second question, and I pray I remember, but I'm going to say it so you remember in case I forget, is what are some of the most toxic chemicals or things that we are exposed to that we're probably not even thinking about? So first one, what's the problem with glyphosate? What is it? What's the problem?
This is probably the major one that we're exposed to that we don't think about a lot, but it's also on the radar more. Glyphosate is the active ingredient in Roundup, and it displaces glycine in the body, an amino acid that helps make glutathione, helps us sleep. And glutathione's the main antioxidant to help prevent autoimmunity, but help the body detox as well. And so glyphosate's in a lot of our food right now, and our food's been loaded with that. And guys, you know, we use Roundup in a lot of different things on our lawns, on golf courses, on certain fields as well. And so that is very, very damaging to our liver and our intestinal tract, and can affect our lymph system. Glyphosate in high amounts can impact lymphomas, and that's in court. Those are the cases that have been won in court against Monsanto, the maker of glyphosate. And Monsanto recently was sold because of the lawsuits against them, and losing the lawsuits they were sold to Bayer. So there's a lot going on there, but you don't sell a company to a larger company unless you're looking at things. And the many in the healthcare community are really not on board with that, so or not on board with using glyphosate. So that's a big part of it. Other toxic, you know what? There's so many.
I mean, cleaning supplies, right?
Yes, all over.
Maybe not clean air filters, not pure water.
Well, the reality is we actually are making thousands of chemicals every year that the FDA cannot assess what they do to us. So the industrial component of how we've progressed has gotten to the point where, I mean, years ago I was lecturing down in North Carolina, and one of the scientists down there came up afterwards and he said, "I need to correct you on one of your numbers." I was quoting a research showing that we had 75,000 toxins that we've not assessed yet, that the FDA hasn't had a chance to get to. And he said that at his university, Duke University, they were collecting that information. They were up over 85,000 at that time.
Wow.
So we have a lot of toxins. And I will say this, many of them have half-lives. We just had a patient come in. We measured and found their main toxin was DDT. DDT was banned in the United States many decades ago. It's a known carcinogen, but it has a half-life of between 15 and 28 years. So a whole pound of that would take a couple hundred years to get out of our soil. And certain countries like China still use DDT. So DDT is found in the northern clean mountains of British Columbia, Canada, because of DDT getting up into the atmosphere, going over the ocean, then dropping into the water basin in Canada. So we are seeing it in areas where it just shouldn't be, and it can cause really wreak havoc with lymph again and other.
And so we got just a couple minutes left, and I don't want you to be walking around afraid that you're inhaling toxins all the time. But it goes back to shoring up your system, you know, eating, you know, clean air, clean water, exercise, sleep, all those things, right? I mean,
support your ability to detox.
Exactly. Yeah.
The bowels, the liver, the kidneys, the skin, the lungs, those are the things that help us eliminate toxins. Otherwise, we are the filter for a lot of these things. Yeah. But God made us to be able to detoxify these things too.
So healthy food and, like he said, healthy trips to the bathroom,
yes.
Sweating, lots of water, good sleep, antioxidants, minimal sugars, and most people have a pretty high carb diet. Maybe they could, you know, if you're really dominant in your carb intake, you might feel way better if you cut that back.
Absolutely. When we have stress, we crave two things: salt and sugar.
Mm.
And so people will go for the chips and the salty snacks, and they'll go for the sugar.
Mm.
If you're really stressed, you can go for the salty sugar snacks.
Yeah, right. Which are brilliant.
They are.
Corn,
that is genius.
Somebody made some money on that one. Well, as we get ready to go, you're so excited about what God is doing. Just give me one word about why that is.
Well, I just believe I believe we're living in biblical times right now. And God is having things come to the surface.
Yep.
So as you experience chaos in life, and it's all around us right now, I believe God's allowing it. And because of the things that are being taken care of because of that. And many of us are peace keepers. Some people are peacemakers, where they stir the pot and it brings this stuff to the surface. We're coming to a season where the peacekeepers get to shine, and they're going to start to help with the cleanup to give God the glory. And things are going to be changed. I see a new medical system. I see a new healthcare system. I see new practices, even in businesses, where they are honoring God with what they do, with their choices for the people, and politicians who do things for people, not themselves.
That's amazing. Let's have hope. God is on the move. We'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.